that's, and I have faith that with the help of the Lord, God is going to allow me to achieve that. But it's going to call for something on my part as well. So this is why I am soliciting your prayers, because I am endeavoring to move up in God. Not for any self-aggrandizement or ambition, but I need to move up in God. So that's just a bit more of transparency for me. So when you're praying for me, and I hope that you do, I believe that you do, say, Lord, move them up. In you. It's not about being moved up in things that pertain unto men, although sometimes that happens. But that's not the move that I'm looking for. I'm looking for a new growth experience in God. Amen? And sometimes growing causes friction and pain, internally and relationally. But I praise God for a loving, faithful companion. Where did she go? Oh, she's popping with the chain. But that's Marilyn. Yeah, Sister Marilyn, but that's Marilyn to me. And I thank God for her, because she is a blessing to me. And I don't know what my life would be like, quite honestly, if I didn't have her. It's not on my notes, but I'm getting teary-eyed, so because I love her. I love her. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say it. Amen. I love her. Amen. Y'all give me a minute. I got to clear my eyes so I can see. Oh, man. She's going to ask me, what did you say? Should have been in here. But I'm endeavoring to teach briefly because I'm physically spent, to be quite honest with you. But I'm going to teach this. Amen. God is going, I'm depending on God to do whatever he got to do to get me to where he got to get me there. It's not by might anyway. It's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. So in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, as an update, I got another dog. Oh, no. Well, because some things happened, and I jokingly say you can't run around with socks all the time and don't get no shoes. So I got another little pit bull. His name is Pitbull. His name is Shoes. So I got shoes and socks. Amen. No, I don't need no shirt, no belts, no nothing. Shoes and socks, that's it. But, yeah, so that's an interesting within itself. All right, now that I got your attention for real, 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, we'll begin at verse number 28, and we'll read down to verse 31. I have the Amplified Version. This is what it says. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and in holy array. Tremble and reverently fear before him, all the earth's peoples. The world also shall be established, so it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Now, there was, if you were here last week, this is familiar to you, but there was an event that had taken place that prompted what we're reading on this morning. David had, after a failed attempt in bringing the Ark of God back, he went back to the Word to get proper instructions for moving it according to God's method given to Moses. So they looked for the instructions and they saw that the Levites were supposed to bear the ark, and they were supposed to bear the ark on boards, and the boards went into the rings that was on the ark. And once David got the proper instructions and got the proper people and positioned them in their proper place, then they began the processional of bringing the ark, which represented the presence of God. And David was so concerned about doing it the proper way that they were sacrificing along the journey. When I was looking at this, a couple of thoughts came into my mind. One thought that came into my mind, it was the Levites, it was the priests who had the responsibility of carrying the presence, or carrying what represented the presence of God. It couldn't be just an ordinary person in the nation of Israel. It had to be a Levite. I was thinking that we are, the Bible says, we're a kingdom of priests. So we carry the presence of the living God. Those of us who have been born again, those of us who've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, we are indeed, according to the scriptures, a kingdom of priests. And here's something that kind of got my mind to thinking. The Levites were priests, and they were carrying something that they couldn't touch. They were carrying the very presence of God, but they couldn't touch the ark. So they had to carry it on the shoulder, along those staves, those poles. And my mind, and thinking about us, we carry the presence of God, but we can't touch the presence of God. We carry the presence of God. And that was a burden. I'm sure that ark was heavy. I'm sure just one person couldn't carry it on their shoulder. It was a burden that they carried, and in my mind, the way my mind thinks, they was carrying something that was too hot to handle. They were carrying it, but they couldn't touch it. We carry the presence of God, but we can't touch it. And it is a burden to carry the presence of God. But the burden is light, because Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, before we received salvation, we was carrying a heavy burden, because we was carrying the weight of sin, and it was weighing us down. But thanks be to God that when we received salvation, we exchanged the heavy burden of sin, for Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Burden, yes, but it's a light one. We can carry the burden. So it's our responsibility as the kingdom of priests to carry the presence of God. We used to sing a song, "Take the Lord God with you everywhere you." Y'all remember that? "Everywhere you go." And we, as the kingdom of priests, we do take God with us everywhere we go. So there's a responsibility in knowing that fact, that everywhere we go, we carry the presence of God. And it shouldn't be a heavy thing, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing because here in Chronicles, David, once the ark got into the city of David, once the ark got into the place, the designated place that David had prepared, David penned a psalm. And he penned this psalm here and he gave it to, I believe it was Asaph. He gave it to Asaph. And they began to sing this psalm. And part of this psalm says, ascribe to the Lord, you families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor and strength. They were praising and worshiping God for what he had done. And that's good. That's absolutely good. But in me thinking about me, my personal life, I can look over my life and see many things that God has done. And when I look over my life and I see many things that God has done in my life, I can praise him. I can praise him. But I said earlier that I want to have a new growth experience. I don't want to merely praise and worship God for what he has done. I want to worship God because he's God, period. That's where I want to be. I don't want to have to go down a list. The list is gravy. The list of what God has done is gratuity. The list is a freebie. But God is God, and he deserves to be worshipped because he is God, period. There's nothing wrong with praising and worshiping and dancing before the Lord. When God brings about a victory in our life as an individual, our life as a community, our life as the body of Christ, but would to God that we would just worship God purely because and merely because he is God. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. It's good to reflect on what God has done. Don't get me wrong. It's good to reflect on what God has done. But what if God doesn't do nothing else? What if God doesn't attend to our wish list? What if God doesn't answer the prayer the way we want him to answer the prayer? Will we still worship God? That's where I want to be. I want it resolved in my soul that if God doesn't do anything else for me, if he doesn't do anything else that I think that I want, or not even that I think that I want, that I know that I want, can my worship still be at a level where God will receive it? Can I move past, dare I say, conditional worship? Can I move past, I'll worship as long as things are going good and, you know, everything seems like it's all right. Yeah, I'm good. God, I'm going to give you some worship. Would you allow me to say that conditional worship is tainted worship and God is not accepting conditional worship? We have to worship God unconditionally. And I'm not there yet completely. I'll be honest. Anybody else not there yet? Because life jostles with us. Life messes with us. We read what God has allowed to be put in scriptures with the Apostle Paul says, I've learned in whatever state that I am, therewith to be content. I know how to abound and I know how to abase, but I'm not there yet. And by the show of hands, I'm in good company. We're not there yet, but we're aiming. We're aiming to get there because I believe when we get there together, when we get there as God, as we yield to God and surrender to God, and God allows us to make that move up, that aliyah, and we have a truly new growth experience, God will just throw in some things, huh? Because he sees that our worship is not determined on what we receive from God. But when God sees that we worship him in spite of, when we get an attitude like our brother Job had after he went through what he went through, and his dear spouse, she just, you know, had a human moment, said, "You ought to curse God and die." Human moment. Don't condemn her, because we have human moments too. Huh? She just had a human moment. Don't make her the scourge of the Bible. She had a human moment, because she didn't want to see her husband suffering. Right? But Job maintained his godly integrity. Will we be able to worship God come Hades or high water? Or no water? Lord have mercy. So when I was looking at this and looking at what God has done, the thought came to my mind of the greatness of God. That's why we should worship him. We should worship God because he's great. If we don't get another thing, we should worship God because he's great. We should reflect. That means we need to think about the greatness of God. Huh? We need to think about how much God is God. We need to think about there is no God but God. And we have the blessed privilege that he is our God. Everybody can't say that. We are not exclusionary, huh? But all we did was what the Bible said, right? And this, and salvation is open to everybody, and all we did was obey what God said. So when anyone obeys what God says as it pertains to receiving salvation, then God becomes their God. So we can reflect on the fact that God is great. This should cause us to worship God. If we don't get nothing, if we don't get anything, God has already given us salvation. Is salvation really enough? Is it really enough? Now, in settings like this, we know the right answer. But when we leave, what's the real answer? Is it enough? We used to, somebody, one of them old storefronts used to say, "I got Jesus and that's enough." But is salvation enough? Yes, it is. Because salvation not only entails, I believe, our soul being saved, but it entails God meeting our needs. Real quiet. That means you're thinking. Good. How can I say that? Because God will provide all of our need. Huh? My God shall supply all your needs. Huh? All your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So when we have salvation, we really have everything that we need. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. That's in the package of salvation. Right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. You see that? But we have to ask according to the will of God. James talks about us asking and not receiving because we ask amiss. So don't ask amiss. You don't want to ask for amiss. You want to ask for a direct hit. How are you going to get a direct hit? By asking what God says in his word and according to his will. And can I be more specific? According to his will for you as an individual. God says, I know the plans that I have for them. Oh, it's an individual thing, right? So your blessing might not be my blessing, huh? So if you get a blessing, I shouldn't be cross-eyed at you because I'm praying, God, how come you didn't give me that blessing? God, the word says, I know the plans I have for you. You don't know what she went through to get that blessing. You don't know what I brought her through, what experience she had, what journey, what path he or she had to take. And then when she went through that path successfully, you don't know what she lost. You don't know what he lost. Can you? Jesus asked them one time, the apostles, he said, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Yeah, we can drink it. You said, yeah, you're going to drink it, but you can't drink this one right now. You know what I'm saying? Because when we have our human moments, we think, well, I want what they got. No, you can't handle what they got because you don't know what went with it or you don't know what comes along with it. Amen. It's a lot of stuff. Lord have mercy. All that glitters is definitely not gold. You could be glass reflecting off of some old glass. It'll glitter. But that ain't gold. How much is an ounce of glass? It ain't like an ounce of gold. You find broken glass on the street. People don't stop and pick up broken glass, do they? But you let them find some gold. It'll be a car wreck trying to pick up that gold. But glass is shiny when the sunlight hit it. Right? You see the analogy? I hope you do. But in looking at this portion of Scripture, I was reflecting on the greatness of God. And when we reflect on the greatness of God alone, not even, see, God, his very nature is giving. He's going to give us stuff anyway. He's going to give us stuff anyway. Even Jesus said about the people, they follow me because I gave them some fish and some bread. You see what I'm saying? That's just his very nature. Because the scripture tells, the scripture we grew up on as little kids, God so loved the world that he gave. So we know God is a giver. That's a guarantee. But God wants us to worship him not for what his hand, but I believe he wants us to seek his face. And when we seek his face, that means we want his presence. All I want, Lord, is your presence. That's all I want is your presence, because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, but see, I don't even want to deal with his hand, because a lot of us will do this to God. All right, Brother Peter, hold out your hand like you're going to shake my hand. See, I don't have to look him in the face to shake his hand, and that's what we do with God. We want his hand, but we don't want his face. You see that? Yeah, we want his hand because he got stuff in it. We want his hand, but when we get in God's face, and the light of his glory shine on our life, we see, I got to change because I'm looking at the face of God. I can't front with God. Give me your hand. You see, now this is good. I can reach what I need. But then, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. I ain't looking at her, right? But if I come here, right? Because what does it say about the eye? It's the light to the soul, right? See, we don't want to look God eye to eye. We don't want to get in his face because he's going to let us see some things about ourselves. We don't want to look God in the face. No, we don't. No, we don't want to look God in the face. We want his hand. Give me what you got in your hand. God, what you got for me? God said, look, I want you to get in my presence. I want you to see who I really am. I want you to see that I am all that you need. Quit worrying about my hands. Quit worrying about my hands. Get in my face. Get in my presence. Because the psalmist said in verse 30, tremble and reverently fear before him. Not afraid, but just hold God in such high esteem that you are in awe of God. Sometimes we just have to be silent before God. To be in the presence of God, and you know that God is like right there, you can't say nothing sometimes. You at a loss for words. If God is right, if you're in the very presence of God, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3. He didn't know what to say. Poor brother. Brother Peter didn't know what to say. Huh? Sometimes you just can't say nothing in the presence of God. Just stand in awe. But we don't want to. Sometimes we're hesitant to have that type of encounter with God. But when we reflect on the godness of God, I don't have to worry about what's in his hand. I just want to be in his presence. So as we wrap this and move to the table, let's reflect on something. Reflect on the greatness of God. Here's some things that I was just reflecting on this morning. His majesty. Think about the majesty of God. Think about the might of God. Think about the magnificence of God. Think about the splendor of God. Think about the sovereignty of God. Think about the supremacy of God. Think about the significance of God. Think about the salvation of God. Think about the amazing awesomeness of God. Who he is. Now, when we think about, now the list can go on and on. That's just a short list. But when we think about that, this should cause us to worship him. This is where I believe God wants me personally to get to that level. And I'm striving to get to that level that whatever is going on, whether on the human side is good or bad or indifferent, my goal is to worship God. Anybody can celebrate and worship God when things are going well. But when things are not going well, when things are not going as I expect or desire, does my worship wane? Does my worship waver? No more wavering for me. No more waning for me. Because, in fact, God has created me to worship him. And he's created all of us to worship him. To put that worship is talking about falling. In one sense, it's talking about falling before God, prostrate before God. And then again, in one sense, it talks about like a dog will lick the hand of his master. That's how we should be with God. Interesting thing with these dogs. See, God can teach you lessons about common things in your house. That's what Jesus did anyway. Now, Sox will be 16 months old on the 10th of this month. Shoes is about, he was born on the 23rd of February. Yeah, those are my two dogs. Mm-hmm. So now, when Socks was that small, as Shoes is, he would sleep on my chest. He would sleep on my chest. And so now, Shoes has to sleep on my chest for a little while. Now, here's Socks. In 2 years, he'll be grown when he's 2 years. But if he sees me pick up Shoes, he'll jump up and try to get Shoes out of my hand. But he's not aggressive with it. He's just jumping up and touching them with his nose, right? Or if he see me sitting in the chair and I'm holding Shoes, he wants to get up in my lap so I can hold him too. He wants to put his head on my stomach so I can hold him too. You see? Because he understands who the master is. I'm going somewhere with this. There's enough room in the presence of God for all of us to have the individual attention that we need. Huh? We don't have to compete with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But there's enough room in the presence of God for us to humble ourselves before our master. Huh?
and to crouch ourselves and prostrate ourselves in his presence and lick his hand. We ain't got to worry about, wait a minute. See, God can teach you something if you listen to him. And stuff you have in your own house, he'll teach you something. So let us be like shoes and socks. Huh? Let's go eagerly to the master's presence. Huh? I have to close the bathroom door because they will follow me everywhere. Who's going to follow after God like that? Everywhere. Everywhere. So, scripture said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What beauty do we find in holiness? Think like this caused me to ask myself questions. What beauty do we find in holiness? In this way of life? Is it beautiful? Is this a beautiful life? I guess not. Ain't nobody said nothing. Well, but you say something or not, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful life. To know that we have peace with God. Huh? To know that if we drop right now, we go straight to the presence of God. That's beautiful. Huh? To know that we don't have to worry about the penalty of sin, that's beautiful. Huh? To know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that's beautiful. Huh? To know that we have the freedom and the ability to worship God at home and then come corporately and worship God in spirit and in truth, that's beautiful. To know that God has provided a table for us where we can discern his body and his blood, and to know that one day, very soon, I believe, he's going to come and get us out of this earthly realm. And he said in the scripture that we're going to read later on, he said, I'm not going to eat. He said, I'm not going to drink the fruit of this vine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That's beautiful. Huh? That gives some expectancy to know that we are the bride of Christ. Huh? And to know that he is adorning us and shaping us and giving us makeover. God's giving us a makeover. Huh? He's making us over into his own image. Huh? He's styling us from head to toe. Huh? Clothed us already in his righteousness. That's beautiful. Huh? To know, huh, that now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but one thing that we do know is that when he does appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's beautiful. To know that if we can allow the word of God to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful lifestyle to live. Huh? Holiness is a beautiful lifestyle to live. Huh? So let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. All right. Just some thoughts I just want to share on today. Some thoughts. Yeah, I'm on a journey. And the journey is not to be the same. I don't want to be the same. I want to spend more time in the presence of God. And I want God to be able to talk to me. And I listen. And sometimes God talks to me. And sometimes I don't listen. Or I'm slow to listen. Or sometimes I debate it in my own mind. I don't know if that's a good move for me. God, is that you? Yeah, you know it's me. Quit playing. But it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt the human side of me. That's the side that needs to be hurt in that circumstance. God knows what's best for us. Lord, help me to totally surrender, not just in word, but in truth and in deed, totally surrender to your will and knowing that you know what's best for me. See, there's some beauty in that, knowing that I don't have to worry about everything. And I'm starting to practice saying, oh, it's going to be all right. Now, I don't know how, but that's not my responsibility to worry about the how. My responsibility is I know God's going to work it out. God's going to show me. He's going to show me wherever. He's going to show me what I need to do. He's going to show me where whatever it is that I lost or whatever. If I need to recover it, God's going to show me. I ain't going to frustrate, pull my hair out about nothing no more. Life happens to everybody. Huh? You hear what I said? I said life happens to everybody. But the beautiful thing about holiness is we got a life beyond this life, even while we're in this life. That's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. All right, just some thoughts. Now, I think that kind of ties into a pattern. I want to develop this pattern of biblical worship. Worship God not for the stuff, but just worship God on the fact that he's God. Amen? Amen. All right, now we're going to move now into the table. It's a beautiful thing that God has designed and put as the tenets, as one of the tenets of our faith, to enjoy the Lord's Supper. Amen? We discerned that his body was broken for us. It was a horrible sight, but it's beautiful for us. We discerned that his blood, and we understand through the reading of the scriptures and through the fact of Jesus' death, it was a horrible death. It was a torturous death. His blood was shed for our sins. And we discern God's body. We don't take what we do lightly. And we don't shun away from it either, because we know it. We need to do this. And it's through faith, this wine and this matzah, it represents the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's what it represents. And it, according to our faith, just like when we get buried in the watery grave, when we get buried in Jesus' name, it represents the fact that we are burying the old man. And by faith, we receive remission of sin. So by faith, when we partake of the Lord's body and his blood as represented in the wine and the matzah, we are representing the fact that we have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. And we are acknowledging and remembering the Lord's suffering and his death until he returns. And I believe that the Lord is soon to come. I told a group of people, we were at a homegoing service, and I told a group of people that they were saying that the person lived for God, in essence. And I said, well, if you believe that this person laying, the body laying before you, and the person lived in the body, they lived for God, I said, then you need to do what she did. You need to do what she did if you want to see her God. You know, so we must worship God, because again, God is looking for worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth and reality. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask someone to pray for the body and the blood as represented in the matzah and the wine. But I'm going to pray a general prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your table that you have prepared so that we could partake in remembering your passion, remembering your death, remembering your sacrifice for us all. We pray at this moment, Lord, that you would search our hearts, that you would know our thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from sin. Lead us in the way everlasting. Forgive us of our sin.
Yes, sir.
Sin of commission, what we did. Sin of omission, what we failed to do that we should have done. Your word declares that you desire truth in the inward part. And the truth is, Lord, all have sinned and come short of your glory. And we're standing on your mercy and on your grace. We're not trampling your mercy or grace, but we're standing in it. And we ask that you would cleanse us, create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit.
Yes, Lord.
So we will discern your body. We will appreciate and reverence what we're about to do. For this we thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Wainwright if you would pray for the body.